Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sam Anthony coming to you live from the Army Radio Studio. Alongside me is Samuel Elizabeth Ferris.
Hello!
And William Robert Camilleri.
Good morning.
And this is Will, Sam, and Sam in the Morning, your twice-weekly morning radio show where we bring you all the updates, typically on Robert Morris Sports, but sometimes if Sam's feeling really butthurt about the coffee line, he likes to talk about that too. And we will get to that, ladies and gentlemen. I know, that was a tease right there. What are we going to talk about? Ooh. Coffee line, what's going to happen? Oh, hold on. First, some business to take care of.
Oh, boy.
As you know, we're a very legitimate radio broadcast now.
That's true.
Which means we have advertisements. Anyone want to advertise with us, let us know. We like money. But, just letting you know, on November 3rd in the Hopwood Auditorium, join Don and Luisi at the premiere of Bringing the Blues to RMU. This is a live event featuring the Queen of Blues, Joe West, and Blues Attack, along with screening three short documentary profiles on Pittsburgh blues legends Eugene Morgan, Bill Wiener, and Joe West, produced by the RMU Media Arts students. This tribute to the blues is sponsored by the Blues Society of Western Pennsylvania, the Academic Media Center, and RMU Radio. That's Bringing the Blues to RMU, Friday, November 3rd at 5 p.m., Hopwood Hall, Robert Morris University. Admission is free to the public. I'm going to be there. I don't think you guys are going to be there, but if you are, it's going to be a good time.
When is it again?
November 3rd.
I don't know what I'm doing that day.
All right.
But we'll see.
Well, now that we've got this very important business out of the way,
yes.
Time for some less important business. Sam, do you want to tell us a little bit about your coffee situation? Because he was almost late to the show this morning.
I was almost late, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the solution is. I'm a little tired, and I just wanted my coffee. I wanted to get here and start working on stuff. But, I mean, there were like seven people in the line, okay? And, yeah, Romo's, I commend them. They do an express line.
I love Romo's ladies, so you leave them alone.
No, I'm not attacking them. I'm attacking the system, man. No, it was just there were seven people in line, and I thought that, you know, some of them were going to check out or whatever. And they opened up the express line, and no one went. No one. Seven people in line waited for coffee. That's why I was almost late. I was there for 15 minutes. And it's nothing against the ladies. I mean, they always do an excellent job. It's just my frustration at the students. Come on, guys. Just go to Dunkin' or something.
But hold on. Why did they have to go to Dunkin' and you don't? This is my question. Just a thought. Well, is that a fair thought?
That's not the question. Just let it happen.
You could.
Sam.
I know I'm the minority in this department, but you could just not get coffee.
Or, you know, wait till after the show. I've done it before. Well, you know, sorry, Sam, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, we've all been in that late, you know, running late, but you need Romo's run. And when you're doing anything less than 15 minutes before, you're gambling. You never know what's going to happen. You can't guarantee anything's going to happen. And, Sam, I question your dedication to this show, personally, if you're going to risk your coffee over the excellent radio broadcast that is Will, Sam, and Sam in the Morning. And for that is why, you know, me and Will had our discussion.
Yeah.
Our discussion on, you know, whether we should really keep you on or not. I think we're gonna have to go and review. It's fine. We already have some internal candidates we're thinking about replacing you with. Malik Johnson, he runs the radio room. Maybe get Krishna in the mix. Ooh, that'd be a good one. I was thinking about sending President Donald Trump a tweet, seeing if he wanted to be on.
Mm. I think he'd jump at that opportunity.
Oh, hear his voice over live radio waves? Definitely.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know who would be great to get on this show?
Who?
John Madden. Could we make that happen?
Or John Gruden.
Ooh. You know what? I'd love that because he'd just be excited about everything. Like, we could talk about, like, RMU women's volleyball. He'd be like, Emma Granger is the greatest middle blocker that there has been. Do you see her coming up the middle? Let's look at the replay. And you'd be like, John, we're on radio.
We need John Gruden and John Tucci to be on this show in one room. I think the world would explode.
Well, you know, we could definitely.
Speaking of John Tucci, we were at Football Will, and I heard an uncanny performance of the national anthem. I'm pretty sure John Tucci sang it.
Really?
Like Moon High School or something.
I probably. He does do that quite often.
It sounded like a John Tucci rendition.
You know what I'd love? I'd love to see a John Tucci business card because I hope it's like John Tucci, anthem singer. And then it's just like his phone number. And then it says like on the back, like, God bless you.
San Fran's actually.
Surrounded by American flags.
Oh. No, like the whole back, you're right. It's just going to be a picture of him with his American flag shirt. and like just a sea of America, and you're gonna be like, God bless the United States. But yeah, you know what? Would it be interesting to get his take on the national anthem debate? Like, I just thought about that.
I don't think we want to go there.
I'm just saying
that so it is kind of
considering that's like his livelihood.
Yeah. That's something to think about.
Right? Food for thought.
Yeah.
We're getting deep here on Will, Sam, and Sam in the morning this morning. I had my coffee. I've been up for an hour. I'm rolling.
I've been up for an hour, too. Hey.
Oh, my gosh. You know what it is? It's midterms this week.
It's Thursday.
Everyone's feeling
I had a class get canceled.
Really?
My 11 a.m. got canceled.
I got two tests today, and I'm really just, you know what? Nobody wants to hear about my test.
How'd you like that finance test?
We'll talk about it during the break. I don't want to share our radio waves.
You don't want to cheat. Cheaters. Cheaters suck.
Stop listening.
All right. That was a public service announcement from Sam Ferentz.
Please listen to us.
Can I have a public service announcement for Sam's mom?
Why do you always have to bring my mom into this?
Well, you started it, and I just kept going. All right. So, Will, is there any burning topics you want to talk about to start?
I mean, I did see something that says Carson Wentz is one of the top candidates for NFL MVP.
Oh, you know what?
I mean, it's also week 6 or week 7 now. I can't even keep track.
So, you know what? That does bring me into a topic I would like to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, especially here in Pittsburgh, this could be kind of up for... Actually, there's two things I want to
talk boy.
About. The first one, you know, I'm going to tell both. You know,
okay.
So fans can get excited
for
what's coming. The first one is a lot of reports saying the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. And I'd like to talk about that because I believe they're the best team in the NFL. I really do. And there's a lot of reasons why I would pick them over the New England Patriots. And the big one is defense. But the second one is, have you heard about the potential realignment in Major League Baseball?
No.
Yeah.
What? Wait.
So
like
they're talking
conference
about
conference realignment?
Yeah, like conference, like division, like expanding. They want to expand teams to potentially Portland, Oregon, bring one back to Montreal. But guess who they're saying will be in the same division finally?
Who?
Philly and Pittsburgh.
Really?
It would be Philly, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and there was one more. But in terms of besides Tampa Bay, I like that for the fact that it's not like a huge like travel range.
I hope it's the Mets because I want to continue hating the Mets.
Yeah, you know, it could be the Mets, but wouldn't it be interesting if they put them with the Yankees?
No.
I think that'd be interesting.
No. I need a team to hate.
I mean,
and I hate the Mets already. I don't want to start liking the Mets. That would be awful.
Trust me, you can hate the Orioles.
It's not. I haven't grown up hating the Orioles. I hate the Mets. I hate the New York Mets.
All right, so we're triggered on this topic. So let's go with this one.
You like the Mets?
You know what I'd like though, because I personally, as someone who's a Pittsburgh sports fan, but like in everything but hockey, I enjoy the Pittsburgh Philly rivalry. I think that it's heated. I think both sides clearly hate each other. Both sides clearly think they're better than each other. As someone who's a Boston, New York kind of guy that, you know, has grown up with that rivalry, it's the same level.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same level. It's just you can never root for the Pens, ever.
Never.
There's no circumstance
never,
where you root for the Pittsburgh
ever.
Penguins.
Is Delaney wearing boots again today?
I don't know, dude. That's a really great question.
Does it sound like boots?
I wish she could hear us out there, but we have a dancing student in front of our window.
Oh, no, she's wearing
sneakers today.
It's a
daily occurrence.
She, like, tweeted about it, like, 5 times about how she's wearing boots.
Yeah, so if you ask Delaney what's new, she'll tell you that she won Christmas, but that's a whole other story.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right, but back to the very important topic.
She's out of breath over there.
Oh, man. You know, can we narrate this for a sec? She was out of breath, and then she immediately jumped into another conversation with two people. For those that don't know Delaney Hassel, it's a ride. It's a ride. That's the only way to describe it. Like, there's never a time where she's not, like, visibly moving. But, yeah. All right. I'm done.
That was quite the narration.
I tried. You know what? Some people call me the next Morgan Freeman, but not a lot of people.
Who calls you that?
My mom.
I was just about to say that.
Maybe Frank.
Every time, like, because like I announce like volleyball games, every time like we'll watch ESPN, she'll hit me and go, "That's gonna be you," and I'm like, "I wish, man. I can dream big." But yeah. All right. So I would love to see where, like, the Philly-Pittsburgh rivalry in baseball becomes a real thing. You know, because like I feel like the Phillies come to town or the Pirates come to town for the Phillies, and it's just like, like whatever. Like you don't, you know, you're rooting against them, but it's not the same as like when, like if you're in Philly, Will, and the Pittsburgh Penguins come to town.
Oh my!
Like you're ready to go rip them to shreds.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a different atmosphere though, like. I don't know. People say Philly fans are bad, and they are, and it's one of the things I love about them. I have a video I can show you of them singing about it, but I'll show you. That's not appropriate.
I think I've seen them.
Yeah, it's not appropriate for our airwaves. But, like, here, when I wear a Flyers jersey, like, I'll have old men come up and ask me statistics. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
So, hold on. Going into this before you get deeper, Will really hates Pittsburgh fans.
I hate, like, honestly, and it sucks because, like, a lot of my friends are Pittsburgh fans. But a lot of Pittsburgh Penguins fans, in particular, are very new because they've been winning a lot. And they don't actually understand, like, 95% of hockey. Which, I mean, I don't understand all of hockey, but I understand. I like to think I understand a good bit of it. So it really, really frustrates me when somebody tries to call me out and I know they have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
No, it's the most frustrating thing ever.
This is going to sound horrible. You're going to get that in any sports town.
I know.
Like, Boston fans, once again, I love the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I love the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Boston Red Sox, and the Boston Celtics, but I am a Bruins fan, and I do not like the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's make that clear.
Yes, I converted you last year.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Where was I going? Oh, yeah. New England Patriots fans. The only statistic that seems to matter in their head is the 5 Super Bowls, which, yes, is a very important statistic because it shows how many times you've consistently gone and you've been the best team in the league, you know, undeniably because you won the championship. But
sometimes via cheating, but, you know, we'll let that go.
We won't talk about that. No, that's a whole nother. You know, we all know that Deflategate's real and Spygate's real.
Spygate, thanks a lot, 2004.
Tom Brady's a dirty cheater, but, you know, we don't need to talk about that on the show.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, the New England Cheatriots. Yeah, so the
thing is, Spencer Wellington.
Is any fan group will toss out statistics that make their team look good,
mm-hmm.
and you will toss out statistics that make their team look bad. And it's just kind of the natural, but there are a lot of people that don't understand. I mean, heck, somebody tried to tell you that plus minus is the make all be all stat
of
hockey.
Yeah, wrong. Which, in case you, if you don't know what plus minus is, because it's a very strange statistic, it's you get a number and it can be positive or negative, but it goes off of what happened when you were on the ice. If there was a goal scored while you were on the ice, doesn't matter if you just had a line change and you just touched the ice or you were just about to go off. If a goal is scored, your plus minus is affected. If your team scores, it goes up by one. If the other team scores, it goes down by one.
Yeah.
So, like, you have defensemen that have these crazy numbers, but that's just because they have more ice time because there's less of them. So it doesn't really – and it doesn't really prove anything. Like, you could just have bad luck and just so happen to – be on the ice every time a goal is scored for the other team.
Exactly.
Or you could have great luck and just so happen you could be the worst player on your team and have a plus minus of 20 just because you somehow end up on the ice every time a goal is scored.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, it's not a real statistic in my mind. And it's just like, I really don't understand the point of it. You know, I'm sorry. I kind of went off there.
It's all right. We triggered him. We triggered him on the plus minus. It happens. There's a lot of things to trigger Will in sports. But yeah, so all right, so we've talked about realignment a little bit, talking about, you know, I think it's interesting. I think it's good because I think baseball needs something right now that's going to make it more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball has to be so excited because right now it looks like it's going to be a Dodgers-Yankees World Series.
Yeah,
and
what,
that means
what,
a lot of money.
I mean, wow. I was just looking at, like, who is still in it, and I don't know. Like, what happened to the – I mean, the Cubs are still in it.
But the Cubs weren't as good this year.
Mm-mm.
And that came from the fact that their investments – and it was a smart investment by Theo Epstein. Basically, what he did was all the aspects of this team came together at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And that point was last year when they were really, really phenomenally good. And the thing is you have those pieces that got old. You know, David Ross retired. John Lester starting to show his age. John Lackey starting to show his age. It's just kind of like the inevitability of sports and the risk you take when it comes with it. I think guys like Lackey and Lester and Arrieta started to kind of show their age a little sooner. Arrieta's not old. He's just not as good anymore because people kind of started to figure him out.
Mm-hmm.
His pitching was so good, but he really had one great pitch that people couldn't figure out. And once he was in the limelight, won the Cy Young, everyone started to kind of keep an eye on him. And he's still a good pitcher. I mean, he's a great – I'd love to have Jake Arrieta as my fourth pitcher. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. But he's not the guy. And, you know, the NLCS is still no small feat. But when you look at the Dodgers have it. The Yankees, first off, the Yankees are lucky that they're here. The Yankees are a good team, but they're young.
And that must hurt you to say that.
It does. But I've gone through their whole roster. I've gone through their whole lineup. And here's the thing. They're built to be relevant for the next 10 years. I mean, you know how, like, the Yankees had the era in the early 2000s of mm-hmm. the Jeter, Posada, Pettit, Roger Clemens, you know, Mariano Rivera, all the Yankees legends, Jason Giambi, and they were just really, really, like, phenomenally good? You're going into the new era. You know, the Aaron Judges, the Gary Sanchez's, the Luis Severinos. I mean, all these guys that everyone was like, yeah, they're really good.
Aroldis Chapman, yeah.
I mean, the fact that they have Aroldis Chapman right after you have Mariano Rivera and the fact that they have the money to keep him, I thought that was a bad move to have him because I really didn't think the Yankees were going to be good for the next 3 or 4 years. I did a lot of research on this team, and that's just kind of what the numbers told me. So I was like, all right, a team that's not great shouldn't spend that much money on a reliever. But the thing is the fact that they've been winning these games. The ninth inning gets there and the game's over because nobody's going to beat Chapman. It's just not mm-hmm. going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially after he's already won a World Series last year with the Cubs.
The Phillies did when he was with the Reds, just saying.
How are the Phillies doing this?
Shut up. I don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. So, irrelevant. Sorry.
The Pirates are almost as bad as the Phillies, though.
But the Pirates aren't good. I'm not like a delusional Pirates fan. Yeah, that's if they had Chung Ho and Starling, they're a playoff team. No,
they're not.
That's not enough wins to make up. But yeah, all right. I digress from the statistics. Well, yeah. I could talk to you about the sabermetrics mm-hmm. of the Pirates all year, but realistically, they were an 81 and 81 team. So I don't want to hear any Pittsburgh Pirates fans.
Kind of tripped and stumbled even more down the stretch.
Well, I mean, when you lose your third baseman to a DUI and it traps him in South Korea, that will definitely make you trip, fall, and stumble. Mm-hmm. And then when your left fielder does PEDs, yeah, that'll happen.
That was definitely a treat.
Yeah. You know what, Sam? I also want your honest opinion. Did you see Andrew McCutchen's tweets? Oh, they were amazing. All right, can I narrate this? Because, Will, you'll appreciate this. So the Dodgers were, like, bat-flipping everything the other night. And so Andrew McCutchen tweets, are we just pimping singles now? Like, really? And this guy tweets at Andrew McCutchen and goes, like, shut up. Like, you're on your couch at home watching this game while everyone else is out playing. Like, stop talking. Dang. He goes, correction, I'm sitting in bed with my super hot wife. And I was like, good for you, Andrew McCutchen. Good for you. He's not having anything with these pimping singles, which I agree with him. Like, I love the swag in baseball. Like, I think if you rock a home run, you're allowed to pimp a, you know, bat flip there, look cool, jog around the bases, do a little selly. I think it makes it more fun, more exciting, more, you know, human. You connect with people in that sport. But you know what? You're repping a single down the line. Like, Just go to the base, please.
You know who the most irritating player I think that does bat flips is?
Who?
Odubel Herrera.
Okay, elaborate for me.
Because I don't think he's that good.
Oh, I don't. I think he could be really good. I think he's getting there.
Yeah, I think he. But I think he has this superstar mentality. Ego. Yeah, mentality about him. When, I mean, if it were up to me, I'd have somebody else. I just don't like him. Like, I understand, you know, he can hit the ball sometimes, but when he's not hot,
yeah,
he's dead and nothing happens.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that he, you know, I mean, there was the bat flip that ended up being an out. Did you hear about that?
Mm-hmm.
He hit a fly ball deep to center, flipped his bat, and it ended up getting caught, like, at the warning track by the center fielder.
Well,
it's just,
I mean,
like, it's so irritating because they're not good. So, in my opinion, the last thing they should be worried about is flipping bats.
Yeah, but you know what? In my opinion, too, like, you see the teams that are successful are the teams that are having fun. So, like, if bringing fun into baseball is what's going to make the Phillies better, Why not? You know what I'm saying?
I guess so.
But all right.
You know what's not fun? Hold on. Sorry. Oh, I just completely interrupted you. You know what's not fun? Bringing back Ruben Amaro Jr.
Oh, yes.
Do not. I swear, if anybody from the Philadelphia Phillies organization is listening to me, do not bring that man back.
So for anyone that doesn't know, Ruben Amaro Jr. was the former general manager before he was fired and disgraced in the city of Philadelphia, where he then became the first base coach for the Boston Red Sox. And the Boston Red Sox, if you weren't following baseball this year, were actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. And they've been pretty good with him as the first base coach. So the rumor is that they want to bring him back not as the general manager, but as the manager.
No.
And Will is just not about that.
No.
Again, he was disgraced in the city of Philadelphia, yes. And I feel like many in Philadelphia would feel the same.
I'm sorry. I love Ryan Howard, but there was no need to sign him until he was 65 years old. Which he didn't do, but I'm exaggerating.
It was still really, it was one of the worst contracts ever.
It was so long, and it was for so much money, and he was so old as it was that it made no sense. And yet he did it, and in my opinion, it was one of the downfalls of this team. I love Ryan Howard. He'll always be one of my favorite first basemen of all time. He won the championship of the Phillies in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not need to be on this team for that long.
Exactly.
There was no need. They weren't going to stay good forever, and he signed them to make sure they weren't good forever, and it was so irritating. Still is. I'm not bitter.
All right, Sam, you were trying to say something?
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, just for those who don't know, can you explain the role of first base and third base coach?
Yeah. So, you're the on-field manager. I mean, the actual, you know, manager who has that title is, you know, he makes decisions on substitutions, what you're doing, but you're the ones that are going to implement that. So, like, if I'm the manager and you're the third base or the first base coach, I'm sending signs to you on what they're doing, all right? And so a lot of the time you're just going to send it to the third base coach. The first base coach is kind of there to make sure, you know, one, you're signaling people whether they need to go to second on certain plays. You're relaying any information that needs to get to the player on first base if they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, essentially is what that is. All right, so we've talked about that. Last thing on the Major League Baseball topic, and then we're gonna go to a quick break because we have commercials.
Oh boy.
Woo-hoo. I'm very excited about it, if you can't tell. Who are your picks to win the World Series? Who's gonna win the championship series first? I mean, both of them are,
who's, you know, left?
So it's the Dodgers and the Cubs, mm-hmm. and the Dodgers are up 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Yankees and the Astros, and the Yankees are up 3-2. And they've just won three in a row. Hmm. After the Astros went up 2-0.
See, I don't know, because I'm conflicted as to who I want to go and who I think will actually.
You
want to
hear my honest opinion?
Yes.
It's going to be the New York Yankees that are going to win. They're going to win this, they're going to go, and they're going to go beat the Dodgers, because the Dodgers are a really good team, but the Yankees are hot right now. In terms of momentum and the culture,
mm-hmm.
I think the Yankees have better.
Is the next game for the ALCS in Houston or in New York?
Yeah, the last two are in Houston.
Hmm. That could be the only thing that's tough.
Yeah, Houston could easily go win because they've won every game at home.
Yeah.
And
so, I mean,
the Yankees have lost every – well, the only game they've won on the road was game 5 against the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
But the Yankees are one game away, and that's the scary part, is all it takes is one game.
That's true. And especially with baseball, like, that's because baseball playoffs are so long.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I don't get it, but at the same time, like, I get it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's just like.
All right, so picks and why.
I really think it's going to be the Dodgers that win the NLCS.
Yeah, I don't think the Cubs have a shot.
No, just the way that, like, there's a conversation that either the Astros or the Yankees could go, but just the way the Dodgers, like, the way they go about things, just from hearing about it, it just seems like they know.
Okay.
They're like, we're going to be, they have that confidence to say, we're going to be the team, and we're going to beat the defending champions and go because we can.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, I really like Clayton Kershaw. He's been my number one fantasy pitcher for the past 2 years. He's given me some heartbreak every time he's gotten hurt, but I do think he is arguably the best pitcher in baseball. And, I mean, Chase Utley's on the Dodgers, and Chase Utley will always hold a special place in my heart, so I really hope he wins it again.
Right.
ALCS, See, it's so tough because I don't know enough about the Astros and the Yankees because I don't like the Yankees, so I don't really pay attention to them. And throughout my childhood, the Astros were always bad, so I never considered them.
2005.
I never really considered them to be a real team.
2005.
I always called them the Quad A Phillies team because we traded all of our bad guys to them for a long time.
All right, but if you had to pick one.
I'm going to go Astros.
All right, and you're going to say Dodgers win the World Series, yeah. I'm assuming? Yeah. All right. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Ference, World Series pick.
Yankees, Cubs. I think the Cubs are going to pull it out.
The 3-0. They're going to come back. They're going to be the second team ever to do it. Theo Epstein.
It's 3-1 right now.
Yeah, but it was 3-0.
They won last night. They did win last night.
The odds, man.
I like.
The odds. He's calling it. You know what, Sam? If they come back from the 3-0 deficit, I will buy you whatever you want from Robos because that's all I can afford.
You heard it here, folks.
I'll keep him to it. Don't you worry.
Thanks, Dad.
Whatever you want, big guy.
All right.
But who's going to win the World Series?
Cubs.
He's going Cubs all the way. Are they going to be like a Boston where they won the 4 in a row and they don't look back and sweep in the World Series?
When was the last time a team... It was like the mid-2000s, right? That a team repeated as champion in baseball.
Not even then, dude.
I think it was like 02, 03 or something like that.
Nope.
Wasn't it I thought the Yankees did it twice. No?
Yankees lost to the Diamondbacks in 01, and they lost to the Marlins in 03. So they went a bunch of times, but they didn't repeat. Hmm. They repeated in the 90s. But yeah.
All
right.
Oh, so maybe it was the 90s. I mean, still, it's my life. It's been, all of our lifetimes.
It's been a while. Since the Yankees.
Needless to say.
Yeah. The last great baseball dynasty.
Jeez, guys. Come on.
Well, on that note,
2 decades.
We're going to go to a quick break and contemplate our age. But when we come back, there's more to talk about because there's lots of things going on in Philly sports that I want to pick Will's brain on.
Ooh.
And we got 15 minutes, so don't go away.
November 3rd in Hopwood Auditorium, Robert Morris University, join me, Don Luisi, for Bringing the Blues to RMU. This is a live event featuring Pittsburgh's Queen of the Blues, Jill West, and Blues Attack. With a screening of Blues Chronicles from the Berg, three short documentary profiles of Pittsburgh blues legends Eugene Morgan, Bill Weiner, and Jill West. This tribute to the blues is sponsored by the Blues Society of Western Pennsylvania, the Academic Media Center, and RMU Radio. That's Bringing the Blues to RMU. Friday, November 3rd at 5 p.m., Hopwood Auditorium, Robert Morris University. Admission is free to the public.
I love a little bit of Gavin DeGraw in the morning. What about you guys?
It's always good to get you through a rough day, rough morning start, you know?
You know, you want to have some feels, you know, you're got a girl on your mind.
You want to think about One Tree Hill.
Oh, jeez.
What a throwback. Oh, boy. All right, well, before we talk about One Tree Hill,
yeah, let's
really
get back
trying,
to the sport, man.
men. Well, and then meanwhile, Sam's will be like, Grey's Anatomy's tonight. I'm so excited.
Fridays with Ian.
Hey, you know what? You can't get to Fridays with Ian without 2 days of Will, Sam, and Sam in the morning.
That's true.
I like to think we're more relevant.
Yeah,
but
we're going to catch up to
him. I'm not adding them or anything. Totally not adding them. But come at me, bro. Ian Kiss, Morgan Torsha, Jim Schultz. If you're listening to this, which I'm sure you're not, I'm in the radio room right now. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm ready to duel with Fridays with Ian. I know we don't read about the dining menu every week, but I feel like we talk about more interesting things than the dining menu.
Yeah, like sports.
Manly things, not menly things. Oh, man. I just lost all my momentum.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about some more Philly sports. It's a very Philly-based show right today. But
33%.
You know what? Here's the thing. It's a very exciting time to be a Philadelphia fan.
I know.
The thing I want to talk about first, because we can talk about the Eagles all day.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the 76ers, because they lost 120 to 115 to the Wizards last night. It was a good game, though. It was a great game.
They also put up, I think in one of the last preseason games, they put up like 135 on
the
net.
And that's the thing. The scoring looks good. The offense looks great. And if you're a 76ers fan, you got to be excited because you finally have all that talent out. Joel Embiid is someone who they basically, like, they put him up there in the MVP odds, and the only thing that's going to stop him from putting up MVP numbers is him getting hurt.
Or having minutes restrictions yet again.
Yeah. So, but this could finally be the year that it doesn't happen. You finally have Ben Simmons on the floor. That's exciting. You have number one overall pick Markel Fultz, who a lot of people are very excited about. I mean, just a lot of youth, a lot of things to be excited about if you're on that team.
Yeah, this team has three, arguably, if Joel Embiid hadn't gotten hurt his senior year at Kansas, he would have also been a number one pick.
Yep.
So you could argue that we have three number one picks on the Sixers, as well as J.J. Redick.
Who's great as a leader.
Yeah, and Dario Saric, who had a great year last year.
Yeah.
Nobody really expected him to actually come and play for the Sixers, but he did and almost won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, but you can't forget about TJ McConnell.
Oh, man. Hometown hero, TJ McConnell. He actually was like Captain Clutch a little bit last year. I mean, he's still on the team. He's going to come off the bench, which
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but real talk, did you see him get bullied by John Wall last night?
No.
John Wall
I didn't
literally
watch
like
the game.
Pushed him over and then dunked. It was not good.
Oh, well. I mean, it's good because he like. He had some great games last year. Like, honestly, I mean, he did put up that shot that beat the Celtics.
I don't want to think about it.
And another one. I think it was, like, the Lakers or something. Yeah. I don't remember.
But, I mean, you got to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is you're in the Eastern Conference where really, and the Celtics are waning a little bit now that Gordon Hayward is basically done for the year.
R.I.P.
Yeah, I'm very sad about it. That image of his ankle still resonates in my head.
Yeah, and then Connor Barwin put up a similar picture of himself from when he did it in 2010 with the Texans. I'm like, why are you keep – stop posting these pictures.
But, yeah, so with Gordon Hayward out, really the only powerhouse team, overwhelming team in the East is the Cavaliers.
Hmm.
So, realistically, spots – I'm going to say spots 8 through – I'm going to say 4. Are really up for grabs because the Raptors are really good. They'll probably grab that 3 spot. But everything else, I mean, really just up for grabs. I mean, you got to watch out for the Bucks with Giannis Antetokounmpo, however you say
freak.
His name. Yeah, the Greek freak. He's really phenomenal.
I do think it's funny how much the Bucks like hate the Sixers. Have you noticed that?
I've never noticed that.
Like, it was something – there were so many things. Like, they, like, added the – Sixers on Twitter last year, like when they made the playoffs and we were like in last in the league, and they're like, oh, look at us, and we're all like, cool. And then like their owner said something about how they don't need a process to win a playoff series or something, or like get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And everyone was just kind of like, Why? Like, well, why also, do you hate?
Also, you got to be like, win a series.
Yeah.
Like,
win something.
You're right
Milwaukee.
Now. Right now, you're the Cincinnati Bengals of the NBA. Yeah. It's great. You get in every year now, but you don't do anything.
Congratulations.
So that's the next step. I like Milwaukee. They're a fun team. I love Jabari Parker. There was a really great piece written of him from The Ringer. And it basically talks about how he was, I mean, they knew he was going to be good. His mom, when he was a kid, instead of like reading him a bedtime story, mm-hmm. would do fake press conferences.
Huh?
Wow. Like she would drill him with questions, and because they knew he was going to be phenomenal. And I think that's amazing.
There's a 2008 Phillies Twitter account. Because the Phillies are so bad, they go through and every day will post updates about the 2008 season.
Does that make you a little bit sad?
I mean, it is a little sad, but it's actually really great because the guy that runs it is really funny. Like,
hey,
yesterday he put up, because it was Sixers opening day, he put up facts about 2008 Joel Embiid and 2008 Ben Simmons.
Oh, this is great.
In 2008, Joel Embiid was still living in Cameroon and had never played basketball before.
Wow.
In 2008, Ben Simmons was 12 years old and was dominating the Australian Youth Basketball League.
That's dope.
See, yeah. that just amazes me. Like, where did Joel Embiid learn to play basketball?
Well, one, he's a giant man.
Yes,
so that's
yeah, very
nice.
Large.
But
he is quite,
I mean,
quite
like,
big. 7 foot two.
You also have to have some, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Either,
I mean.
He had a natural talent for
I mean,
it. Or like,
clearly he started playing basketball.
I mean,
and
they
were all like, wow.
Yeah, he was 14 at that point in 2008 and had never played basketball. Yeah. Meanwhile, I was 11, which is scary to think about. I'm only 3 years younger than
you. Well, and then you're like, what are we doing?
I was playing Springford Rec basketball.
Yeah, I was struggling through, you know, Little League baseball.
2013?
No, 2008.
Oh, I thought you said 2013. I was like,
hey, you know what? Will could still ball. Okay?
There actually is a rec league for high schoolers. It's a lot of fun. My friends did it. I did not because I was in band, but you know.
But you know what? At least you're not Cleveland Indians fans who have to watch a fake movie to remind them of a championship. Every year, there's a group of Indians fans that get together and watch Major League. Because it's the only time they can witness on television the Cleveland Indians winning a championship.
Oh, it was funny. The other day, I had somebody try to call me out on the last time, from here, the last time the Phillies won the World Series. I'm like, they said something like, because I was talking about 2008, and they're like, do they even have any other ones? And I'm like, yeah, the last one before that was 1980, the year after the Pirates won it the last time.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. And I love the Pirates. I'm a Pirates and a Red Sox fan, and I think that's allowed because of different
mm-hmm.
leagues.
Yeah.
But you can't talk trash if you're a Pirates fan, especially because you also hold the North American sports record for most consecutive losing seasons. the fact that like you sit there and make fun of the Cleveland Browns, but yet you're a fan of the team that has lost the most seasons in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Like you just have to like if I were a Cleveland Browns fan. And someone was trying to make fun of me as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and a Pittsburgh. I'd be like, hey, like, you're like, even though the Indians haven't won in forever, at least the Indians, you know, don't have the, you know, the longest streak of futility.
I think that's what I'm going to say the next time. Next time somebody says 1975, I'm going to say 1979
mm-hmm.
and walk away.
I mean, hey, I'll tell you, the best time to be a Pittsburgh fan was the 70s.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
cow.
Oh, yeah, everybody was winning everything.
Oh, my
gosh. Just like the best time to be a Robin Morris Colonial was in the 90s.
That's very true, actually.
Mm,
everyone. Yeah. Like, if you look, all of the banners that have all the championships, it's like 93, 94, 95, 97, 98, 99.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole thing with Robert Morris football that you have to understand. Like, they were non-scholarship, too.
Yeah.
So
How does that happen?
I mean, they were... Well, all of that league was non-scholarship. So that's how it started because college football wasn't as, you know, there wasn't as much money in it as there is now. I mean, it was still very popular. Ugh. But
NCAA.
Basically, you know, Robert Morris did a great, Joe Walton did a great job of bringing in people that had chips on their shoulders because they really felt like they should have been good enough to earn a scholarship. And they went and they played the crap out of football, man. Hey, but can I give a shout out on radio? Congratulations, Coach Alex DeMichael, getting inducted into the Robert Morris Sports Hall of Fame.
I'm so happy. He's
it's very
like,
exciting.
I've seen pictures of him playing before. He was a terrifying person.
I wouldn't want to come in a dark alleyway with him.
I want you guys to think about that 2010 team. We got 3 minutes left, so I think this should be our final thought for the day.
I'm fine with me.
Think about that team in 2010 because you had Alex DeMichael leading the defense. You had Miles Russ.
Who's the all-time
leading rusher.
Rusher.
Dominating. I mean, the guy was putting up incredible numbers. And then you go, and you know what? This is the thing. Is people look at that score against North Dakota State in the playoffs, and they go, oh, 43-17. Like,
typical.
Blown out. Look at the box score. Because at halftime, the score was 7-6, Robert Morris. At the end of the third quarter, the score was 22-17, North Dakota State. They were up by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they go up by a lot, and then some garbage time touchdowns at the end make it 43-17.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Morris was that good. They were going toe-to-toe with arguably the greatest team in the history of FCS football.
Because the year after that, they won the national championship, and they proceeded to do that for the next 5 years.
Yep. And then Carson Wentz came in.
Carson Wentz came in, I think 2012 was his freshman year.
So
2 years after they played us, he came in, won three or four national championships.
Yep.
And then last year they lost to
James Madison. James Madison, who they went and beat Youngstown State in the championship. But I'm just saying – and another final thought, and I know you guys can't really contribute. Don't count Robert Morris out yet. It was one bad game. I know it was really bad, but it's a long conference season, and there's so much parity in the NEC that really the big thing is Robert Morris has to go, and they have to beat St. Francis. That is the end-all, be-all of that because, I mean, again, they have to win games up to that point, but that's the game. That's the game you have to win.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah. Right now, we have to beat Sacred Heart.
Yeah. Sacred Heart, is the first thing that's on our
week
mind.
To week.
At this point, you can't look ahead at all just because you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
So Robert Morris Colonials, come out and support your football team on Saturday because we can't do it without your support, okay?
And on that note, we are just about out of time here on Will Sam and Sam in the Morning. So this is Sam Anthony signing off saying, let's go Robert Morris.
Sam Ferentz signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom.
Love you, Mrs.
And this
Ferentz.
Is Will Camilleri signing off. Philadelphia sports are good.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And tune in on Tuesday because it's Pirates weekend. Lots of sports. Lots of things to talk about. You're not going to want to miss all of the juicy debate.
Let's go.
Da-na-na. Da-na-na.